This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Go back and watch Heavyweights. Number one, as a Ben Stiller movie,
it's so good.
That might be one of his funniest and most quotable movies that he's had.
Well, I think he got the inspiration for his character in Dodgeball. What's his name in Dodgeball?
White Goodman.
Yeah, White Goodman. He got the inspiration of that role from his heavyweight Uncle Tony.
They say that Tony Perkis really ended up becoming White Goodman. Changed his, you know, he had that whole debacle at the kids camp. Had to change up his image. Had to change up everything.
It's all in the same universe.
And listen, White Goodman is the fakest name that anybody could make up.
Yeah, White.
Seriously,
White Goodman.
WHIT.
Yeah.
E.
Tony Perkis.
Play on words, obviously.
Yeah. So I mean, it's one absolutely White Goodman. Yeah. So it's one of those things. There's the theory out there that Tony Perkis is indeed White Goodman. You know, they both had issues with food and overeating and stuff like that, and which is why they kind of transformed their body. They were both overly obsessed with people being healthy and, you know, depriving people of food and the whole thing. Yes, Tony Perkis is indeed White Goodman.
I'm trying to think of the references from yesterday. So yeah, at one point we did the hiya, hiya, hiya. My buddy, he drops the "All you need is Mother Earth, Father Sky, and your dear old Uncle Tony."
Your dear old Uncle Tony.
Oh God! Oh look, a deli meat.
I might have to check that movie out later on. You know.
Oh my God!
What a weekend you had.
That movie is great. Yeah, the weekend still continues, my man.
Well, it's extra long, right?
I got a nap planned today.
Ooh.
Oh, I had a good one yesterday.
My Sunday nap.
Oh, man.
I still taste glorious. The wine from yesterday.
You do some wine tasting?
Yes, actually, lots of wine tasting. There's a beautiful cave wine bar here in Portland. You guys got to check it out. It's a perfect go-to spot to take
in a cave?
It is literally set in a cave, and if you walked by it, it's on Alberta, and if you walked by it and didn't actually know where you were going, you would totally miss it.
The waiters just grunt at you.
There's a cave on Alberta now?
Yes, it's under
Pinot vacation is crazy.
Pinot Chardonnay.
They put a hotel on Alberta? Like, what are we doing?
No, it's really nice. No, seriously, just it's easy to get drunk down there, but also a good place to keep an eye on to, you know, you need a date spot. Go.
Is it called Les Caves and Les Clos?
That is a spot, but no, we did not go to that one. It's a newer one called Bar Nina.
Bar Nina.
It's really nice. Nice place.
Well, Rashad was breaking the law last night.
Ooh.
I break multiple laws.
Breaking
the law. Yeah, not to you know, disrespect any of our, you know, Portland's finest, you know, but...
But also, you telling me what you did, I was like, well, I feel like that's something that you can basically get away with some of the things that are done in public.
Probably
in the city.
Now. Yeah, probably now. It's a little
funny?
More...
The more put together you look and doing what you did... That is grounds for a cop talking to you. But God, if you look run down.
If I was just sitting on the curb or something like that, then nobody would have a problem.
But if you're run down, no shoes possibly, dirty.
They don't care.
Holes in your pants.
Got a nice suit on. They're like, whoa, sir, what's going on here?
Yeah. But you and the lady had a nice little night.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was real old school. So like I said, I took a glorious nap way longer than I was supposed to. I missed most of the game. I woke up, saw the score, and said, "Oh, I guess I didn't miss anything," and went right back.
No. You were fine,
and went right back to sleep. But I got up, and it was like 8:30. I was like, "Holy hell! Like, sleep for that long?" So, of course, the wife was mad. You know, we missed the whole beautiful day, and it was really nice out yesterday. So I didn't get a chance to do that. But
gorgeous.
I was like, "Well, shoot, the night's not over. Like, we can still get up and do something." But didn't really know what to do. Let's just get a bottle and just go ahead and just walk around downtown and see what's up, man. You know, and just did it old school.
So public drinking by Rashad Taylor.
Public drinking. But aren't we always drinking? But if we go to any bar, aren't we drinking publicly there?
Well, yeah, but you can't just be walking around the city with a bottle in your hand, man, brown bagging it.
I can do heroin on the street. I can absolutely have
Technically, you can.
You definitely can.
You get a. I don't think you can anymore. I was gonna say
they did lift that order.
I was gonna say that law that they're like we're exactly like Portugal. We can pull this off.
Yeah, what is it? Decriminalization of hard drugs. No, we stopped that.
Yeah, semantics.
We're like we might have messed up.
Has anybody stopped anything? Have you seen anything change since that happened?
Well, now my question is, and this could be a grounds for a ticket and a court date, is what were you drinking?
Oh, whiskey.
What kind of whiskey?
It's just some Makers. You know,
I'm a, that's acceptable.
Yeah, I'm a big Makers guy.
If it was like some Old Crow or something like
some Seagrams.
Straight to jail.
Some HRD
Seagrams
whiskey.
Or something like that. They make HRD whiskey?
I thought they did.
Ugh.
At least at one point. The $7 a handle HRD vodka, I'm pretty sure, had
that?
A whiskey twin. 20-year-olds in college that needed to get 12 people drunk for $7.
Yuck. Ugh.
Well, that is, HRD's made by, Hood River Distillery.
Yes, sir.
Which local, they actually local. Do have some good stuff.
It's not all ass.
No, they got, Trails End Whiskey. That's a good one. Fourth West Whiskey. I've had that before. That's pretty solid. Timberline Vodka. So yeah, I don't know what the cheap stuff is though, that they're rocking with.
I mean, do you think they even put that on their website? That just belongs on the bottom shelf of the liquor
menu
store,
type
brother.
Thing. You gotta ask for it.
I'm on the all.
It's like animal fries at In-N-Out. Like, it's not on the menu. You just got to ask for it. They'll give it to you.
Oh, yeah. Our value brands. That's what they call it on their website. Yeah.
You have to dig for that.
And then you click on it, and it goes to the page, and it says, we couldn't find the page you were looking for.
Yeah.
There's an error in the URL.
You got to give a code. You know, you have to give a secret code when you go and ask for it.
They don't want anybody to look at
Pikachu.
That.
Pikachu. Oh, right this way. And then they give it to you.
We're sorry we make this.
But yeah, I was out on the golf course. I did some drinking too. Do you know what Pink Whitney is?
I do not.
Dude, it's god awful. It's
is that a drink?
It's these. I think it was like the Barstool Bros came out with it.
Oh no.
The hockey Barstool Bros, the Spittin' Chicklets guys. But it's a. I don't even know what it is. It's a pink lemonade flavor vodka.
No, pass.
And luckily for us, yeah, you can see it right here. It's
that looks like a headache.
Yeah, it was very sugary. But my buddy, he bought like an 8-pack. You know those like how you can get the what is it? What's the cinnamon whiskey?
A Fireball.
Oh, Fireball.
Yeah, you can buy those like Fireball packs. Those eight packs of the small bottles.
Yes,
he
sir.
Brought one of those
little nips.
And then I had a flask of whiskey. And luckily for us, there was 4 birdies out on the golf course. So every birdie, you got to take a shot. And we drank all that Pink Whitney, plus some of the whiskey, plus beers, White Claw, cheeseburger.
Yeah. It's normal
white
guy weekend.
4 bong hits, man.
It's a normal white guy weekend, man.
Jägermeister. Yeah, it was great. It was a great day. I was drinking on the grounds of a place that allowed me to drink. So I was not breaking the law. Rashad?
I mean, I was downtown, so technically, I don't think I was breaking any laws either. I'm pretty sure I might have been, but I'm just going to go ahead and say I wasn't for the sake of people listening on this show. I'm a law-abiding citizen, guys. Like, I don't go out there and break laws intentionally.
This segment would say the otherwise, that you are not a law-abiding
citizen. I am. Man, name me a person that never walked around pre-funking just outside. We all have. We all do it.
I mean, yeah, they're okay. I'll admit it here on the air because it's like, what, 15 plus years past the statute of limitations. I think it was 20, walking around like 2 a.m. University of Oregon campus after a Ducks win against Arizona State with one of those mini Heineken kegs on my shoulders, just giving people drinks. It was fun. Ladies, specifically.
Oh, you remember that? I remember those Heineken kegs. Do they still sell those?
No, I think they do, but you got to look really, really hard. Like, but you can't find them at the general grocery store, unfortunately.
Is that even allowed?
I mean, God, they were like $20 and one of the best purchases I feel like you could make if you were going to a party.
It's like the...
No, those were legit.
It's like the box of wine of beer.
Seriously. It was so great. And I literally, man, dude, at 20 years old, you're like, can I have a drink? Like, yeah, it was just, it was the best night.
Yeah, you were definitely the life of the party you came in with the keg on your shoulder.
Absolutely.
Five-liter keg of Heineken. I think it looks like it's still sold in places.
Yes, I would go buy that today. It's Memorial Day weekend. We got burgers in the fridge ready to grill. Get some Heineken keg action with that. Yes, please.
Yeah, that's that's a good question to leave up to the text line, 503-864-6326. What is on the Memorial Day menu today and or tomorrow? What are you cooking up? What are you grilling? If you are grilling, what are you making in general? It wasn't technically Memorial Day weekend, but I think it was Thursday night. I made some fantastic fajita burritos. I haven't had fajitas in a while with like the fajitas bell peppers.
What kind of meat do you use?
Chicken.
Always a classic. Always great.
Pollo.
Always great.
Give me that polo, please.
I'm a steak guy. Oh, I'll say this. I got a chance to go to one of my favorite places, and you guys, it's a California kind of West Coast thing, but have you ever been to a Pollo Loco?
Yes.
I've heard of it.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's a crazy chicken.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite like fast food spots like ever, but it's just basically, I don't know why there isn't more grilled chicken available at, like, why doesn't Popeyes or KFC or somebody offer a grilled chicken? KFC used to do like a baked one, which was awesome. But a Pollo Loco is super, super great. But man, that sounds, the fajitas actually sound fire right now.
Dude, it was great.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Joey, my son, he's a little, well, he's 12, so of course he's, yeah, picky. But he doesn't like, he likes bell peppers if they're not cooked, you know, just crisp, clean, raw bell peppers, which those are fantastic. You know, I can munch on a bell pepper like an apple, but cooked though, he doesn't like them cooked. So for the longest time, I haven't made fajitas because I know he's going to be a little bitch about it. Just peppers.
Ugh,
I don't want to eat the peppers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, fickle this time kids, you're effing eating the peppers. And so, yeah, I had fajitas and it was fantastic. I got another one on the text line, marinated chicken. What's the marinade, though? Marinade is a big umbrella statement. I want to know, what is the marinade? What is that consists of?
Well, like lemon pepper, teriyaki. We go like Italian. What are you doing?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Many options.
Yeah.
I'm a big jerk guy.
Yeah.
I love jerk. You know, jerk chicken is amazing to me. I haven't perfected it yet. I'm working on it. Haven't perfected it yet.
If anybody loves a good jerk, it's Rashad Taylor.
Oh, man. It's one of my favorite. Ask around.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of chicken, actually, as we're talking about like good grilled chicken, Rashad, the food at your wedding comes to mind, man. That chicken, still probably, well, what are we, like 2+ years out? Still some of the best chicken I've had
since
then.
It's not even
a
year. It's not even a year. That was...
Was
June
that really
1st?
Time? Dude, time feels up, like it's just passing.
It's
even
getting close.
Faster.
What was that, July, August?
No, it's June 1st. So that's like,
okay, so a year. All right. Well, my bad.
It's like 2 weeks. It's like a week away.
I'm glad I overguessed instead of underguessed.
Next Sunday, I think, will be a year.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, next Sunday. But no, you know, want to hear something crazy? Didn't even get a chance to eat.
That's usually how it
didn't
goes.
Didn't even get a chance to eat. Like, I was just around hanging out. Like, as soon as the nuptials were over, I mean, we took some pictures. It was like, cool, party time. I went to my car because I had was going to do some more public drinking, and I had some whiskey in the car, and then I saw my new cousin at that point, and we start talking and drinking, and then all of a sudden, there's just a circle of people, and I was like, well, I guess this is where the party is. I didn't dance. I don't think I got a chance to dance at the wedding. So, yeah, I don't know what the food tastes like. I'm glad it was good, though. I'm glad y'all enjoyed the food. I actually got to try to find whoever I don't even know who the caterer was. I don't think we ever met.
Well,
seriously,
they killed the chicken. Everything was good, but I just, as we're talking about chicken, I'm just like, oh my God, I need some of that perfect,
you're like the third person
flavor
to tell me that, and I was like, man, I have no idea who that person was.
All right, this person texted in what their marinade was: spicy teriyaki. Ooh. With pineapple, heavy on the garlic, my man, and the secret ingredient, molasses. Whoa.
Can I come over to their house?
Are we
for
grilling?
A Super Bowl or something?
I assume Let's we're go. Grilling all that.
I would hope it's a grilled chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, garlic comes through really well on off the grill.
Dude, I love garlic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is, oh my God.
It can be a little strong at
no.
certain points, but other than that, like, man,
with
garlic.
With meat,
is,
I don't think so.
I don't think you can ever have enough garlic in any dish.
I don't know about that.
Just keep dumping it in there.
Just more garlic.
Just go. All right, let's get into some sports stuff. But still, this is a Memorial Day weekend episode. So, one, thank you to everybody who served and the soldiers that we lost over the many years of different wars we have been in. Appreciate everybody out there. So if you do have someone in your life like that, make sure to take a moment to thank them. This is the first year in my life that my grandfather is not with us anymore, Vietnam War veteran. So I've been thinking about him this weekend. But also with that, celebrate those people by grilling something good, cooking something good,
there
and
go.
Texting us in what you were
not
grilling
this
weekend.
Not no BS today either. Not no BS tomorrow. You can keep the burgers and the hot dogs in the house.
No. We got to go all out.
Yeah,
unless
you got 3 or 5 year olds, you can keep the hot dogs. Hot dogs. I'm not saying links and brats and everything like that, but if you have hot dogs out tomorrow, then expect nobody to come over.
We got like good stuffed burgers.
That's
like
fine.
Yeah, like the where you put bacon and cheddar in them, or you infuse stuff in them.
Yeah, that shouldn't be your main character though.
I mean, there's two of us, brother. Yeah. So I don't know what do you want us to cook up like for 7 people and then just I'm already fat. I don't need to leave that in the fridge and tempt myself all week after this.
But a nice spicy teriyaki marinade with extra garlic, and molasses, might go hard on the grill. Just saying.
All right, let's do some sports. We got some conference finals to talk about. We got a matchup today. We've got a matchup from last night that poses a question to me. We have some awards that were handed out this week. I'm sure we'll figure out the other segments as we go along. But wanted to talk about these conference finals because they are just exactly what we needed. We get to that next here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When I look at these matchups and these teams and the players that are in it, it is definitely some fresh blood. And I don't know if I can find one person that is unlikable on these teams. Like, and to me, there's a lot. I can. Well, I already know where you're going with it. You're a huge.
I think there's more than just one. Fan.
No, I love Ant. I think he's immature, but continue. Yeah.
But when I look at these teams, it's just again there really isn't anybody on either of these teams where like personally where I'm like God, I just hate that guy or God, I hate his game or he is so annoying. Like, and when I look at the East, like the Pacers, obviously they're up 2-0. In order for them to not go to the NBA Finals, the Knicks would have to do something that no team has ever done, and that's come back from an 0-2 hole after losing the first 2 games at home in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's happened 6 times before, as we talked about last week, but it has never happened in a Conference Finals. But the Pacers, like, Tyrese Haliburton, all he does is just get dumped on for being overrated, and then he's had an awesome playoff run. Pascal Siakam in Game 2, just absolutely balling out. Miles Turner, one of the most underrated players in the league. Nesmith and Nembhard, just get after it, guys, defensively. TJ McConnell, like, that whole team is just, like, that whole team is built on just being, like, you are not giving us our proper credit and our kudos, and we're just going to outrun you, outwork you, and we're going to show you why you shouldn't have taken us so lightly. So I just love that team. The Knicks... Like, I like Jalen Brunson. I think Karl Anthony Towns, he just gets made fun of, but his game is absolutely amazing.
Like, arguably the best big in the league.
Dude,
arguably, yeah.
He is, there's a reason why he was chose number one overall in the draft that he came out in. Mitchell Robinson just gets every offensive rebound. Josh Hart, being a guard, goes after every rebound possible.
Never should have been traded.
So there's a lot of dudes on the Eastern Conference, and then on the Western Conference, too, like, you know.
Who doesn't love Shea? Gilgeous Alexander.
I mean, the only thing that people have against him right now is the free throw merchant, which kind of did, show itself in Game 1. And we'll get to that later in the show here.
That's the least of their concerns for Game 3.
I would say that, like, you know, maybe if you want to find like the most unlikable person out of all these teams, again, even on the like OKC, it's like I don't really have beef with anybody on there.
No.
I would say for the maybe the number one most unlikable player in less in these playoffs is like Rudy Gobert.
There, I was. That's the name I was going to say. I wasn't going to say Anthony Edwards because I actually love Anthony Edwards' game.
Yep.
I think Anthony Edwards is going to be one of those ones in the league. I think he's super immature, but I don't really. Outside of that, like I don't have an issue with Ant-Man. But you're absolutely right, Joe. Like up and down each roster are a bunch of guys that you would want to root for. Like I always have this thing, and you guys probably noticed it. Like I like underdogs. I like the people that everybody kind of craps on. Because I know what it's like to be that guy, you know. And so I always like to see those dudes be in positions to win and be in positions to like do great things. Like everybody on Indiana was passed over. Somebody didn't want them. For the most part, like Miles Turner might be the only person there that's.
But he was involved in possible trade talks and trade rumors
like
for
every
a few
year,
years now.
Every
so.
Year, almost. You know, Sacramento didn't want Tyrese Haliburton. You know, they felt like Sabonis would be a better idea. You know, Siakam. You know, Toronto was like, "Oh, we're not going to pay you this type of money, so we're going to go ahead and let you go." You know, all these guys are people that nobody really saw coming, but we probably should have seen it coming because. Who was in the conference finals last year for the East?
It was the Pacers.
It was the Pacers.
And there was a couple close games.
Who was in the play-in? Who was in the first, not play-in, but the first, like, NBA Cup?
IST?
Yeah, who was in that last year for the first year?
The Pacers and the Lakers.
Right? So this has kind of been a slow burn for Indiana, but we've watched them for the past couple years do what they're doing. I absolutely love the Knicks. The only reason I don't want the Knicks to win and I'm actively rooting against them is because I hate New York fans. Nothing to do with that team. I love that team. I love Jalen Brunson. I do think he holds onto the ball for too long, but we'll talk about that once we get there. But I love that team up and down. Cat is just fun to make fun of, but we all know he's kind of that guy when he's out there, especially when he shows his heart a little bit. So you love that team. You love OG Anunoby and those guys. It's hard to dislike them. On the other side, I think OKC might be the most likable team that we've ever seen. I don't know if we've ever seen a team that we all just unanimously kind of like, yeah, he's cold. Yeah, we like him. Jalen Williams is kind of nice. Okay, Shea is that guy. I do love Chet, man. Hartenstein is kind of – everybody on that team is likable. The only person out there that, again, is probably like, man, don't like this dude is Rudy Gobert.
And quite
because
honestly,
he's kind of soft, and he's good.
But also, yeah, and again, like, you have to respect his defensive game.
100%.
And also, he hasn't really done much in this series either, like, to, like, say that he is a huge threat. Like, he had, what, 4 points in game one, 2 points in game two, or something like that. I'm not going to lie, I did not watch yesterday's game because I was out on the golf course. But as Rashad mentioned, not like I missed much. So I don't know what his final line was or what that looked like offensively. But again,
7 points.
There you go. I mean, like, again, and he's never been an offensive, like, threat, right? The game he had earlier in the playoffs where he scored 29 points on 22 rebounds or whatever the hell it was. It was like, what is this? But, yeah, again, it's just like, and another thing as far as, you know, this is what we needed is all this just new blood and new faces out there. Like, no LeBron, no Steph. I mean, Jason Tatum, as young as he is, he's been in Eastern Conference Finals and deep playoff runs for the last 7 years now. I love seeing these new faces of the NBA be the last remaining four teams. Like, hey, this is the future. Like, sorry, NBA, we do need to get used to a world without LeBron and without Steph Curry because that day will be coming here soon.
It's the changing of the guard. This is officially the NBA's changing of the guard. You look around right now, and you just mentioned it. LeBron James is sitting at home watching. So is Steph. So is KD. So is James Harden. So is Westbrook. So is Jokic. So it's all these stars that we've had in the NBA for the past 10 years, 20 years that have kind of led everything. Even the younger stars, the Devin Bookers of the world, they're all sitting at home watching this new generation of talent, you know, be able to kind of take the mantle. So I think it's an awesome thing. You know, it was kind of that thing in the 90s, you know, once Jordan officially retired and you see San Antonio win for the first time. Ooh, that's new and exciting, right? Hadn't seen that. And the next year, the Lakers and the young Kobe and youngest Shaq, they start, you know, winning really like that. And then you start seeing all these, you know, Miami come out of nowhere and Detroit come and get one. So I think this is that time that we're starting to see these other faces of the NBA kind of take their place as the top of the league. You know, these are really the superstars. I don't want to hear the fact that Tyrese Halliburton isn't a superstar anymore. Any player that gets his team to the conference finals 2 years in a row, has made an all-star team, has won a gold medal.
Hitting clutch buckets, and leading comebacks.
How many? I think they've got four comebacks just in these playoffs, and he's got three game winners, you know, just within this playoff run. That is superstar-ish. So, yes, Tyrese Halliburton is 100% a superstar. And if you're going to say that he's not a superstar, but a Chris Paul was, Chris Paul's never averaged 25.
That was a whole different era, but you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I mean, if that's what we're classifying a superstar as, somebody that averages 23, 20, 25 points, and there's a lot of guys, Jason Kidd has to come off. He wasn't a superstar. Chris Paul wasn't a superstar. John Stockton wasn't a superstar. If that's how it is, then that has to be the criteria for everybody. But Tyrese Halliburton is a 6'5" point guard that can finish at the rim, can obviously make clutch shots. He is among the superstars in the league right now, and he's showing it.
Pacers can get it done basically with anybody. It's not just Tyrese Halliburton. I think that's the interesting thing about them. If it weren't for Aaron Nesmith in game two, they unbelievable. It's like, what was the meme going around on social media? They forgot to tell the Pacers that the game is ending. Like, they just keep on going. And then Pascal Siakam in game two, like every single game, it seems like, yeah, Halliburton's there, but somebody else is stepping up for the Pacers. And really quickly, it's interesting that you point out, like, all these teams just kind of showing up out of nowhere. It's almost like that Hollywood star or that music star that you see all of a sudden get their big break and they're just there every single day. We see them in the news.
Jelly Roll all of a sudden.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, where did Jelly Roll come from? Where did Sabrina Carpenter come from? But it's not quite that simple. All of those stars have been building, like Sabrina Carpenter was on Girl Meets World. Jelly Roll was doing mall gigs for years where we didn't know about it. And I compare that to, like, well, these teams have kind of been on the up and coming for the last few years. We just now are getting to see this explosion of talent. SGA has been, like, whispered as a possible MVP candidate. Now he is MVP. Hartenstein, who was on New York, now flipped to OKC, gives the ability to, like, basically give them two lineups with a big center in the middle if they need, or they can just swap out and put Chet Holmgren out and stretch everybody. Like, there's so many different reasons why all these teams are producing well now and to this point, but it has been a slow 3 or 4 year build of these teams. Like, sure, the Pacers, like the Knicks with Jalen Brunson too, getting better.
Yeah, it's just been super refreshing watching these games and games went, the first two for New York and the Pacers, just the environment, the games themselves, how close they were. I mean, especially on the East side, the Western Conference, I mean, we've had essentially three blowout games.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the East, it's just seeing these teams and the emotion, the stakes, how high they are, and just the finishes that we've gotten in them, the performances that we've got. It's been very refreshing. Like, again, and we're going to get into it because game three is today at 5:00 between the Knicks and Pacers, is that seeing those two teams go at it. And
it's 1994 all over for me.
It has been awesome. But let's talk about game three, because the Knicks, they're in a position where they have to do something that no team has ever done before. We'll get to that next here. But first, Jordan Schultz with the SportsCenter update.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is the only job I'll gladly wake up for at 8:00 or 7-something on a Sunday to get here.
Well, for if sure. I would stop going hard on Saturday nights, then it would make it a little bit easier for me.
I can't do that, Joe. I can't do that.
Your boy likes to get a little wild.
I can't do that. I wish I could go softer on Saturdays, but it's the only day I really get to kick it. It's the only day I don't have a work event to do.
Me and the brown water. We're too close.
I like it.
We're too good of friends. What were we talking about here?
Playoff basketball?
Basketball?
What's on my list here? The New York Knicks And I don't want to say their full, I don't want to say their full name because it's, you know, you slip up on the C and K, you know, and make it sound like a G, then you're in some trouble there.
Kaniga? What's my man's name? Yeah.
Let's not.
Yeah, something like that.
Rashad could say it.
For sure.
Rashad's in the clear.
Yeah.
So the Knicks, we talked about this last week. Not just teams to go down 2-0 in a series, but teams that had the first two games at home, they lost those two games and then were able to come back and still win the series. Because, I mean, you lose the first two games at home, you're just beaten, downtrodden mentally, just, God, we blew it.
That's tough.
We blew it. We lost our two home games. Like, what are we doing, guys? And then come back to actually win the series. It's happened six times in NBA playoff history. I think one of those was like a 3-2, like a five-game series. But regardless, it has never been done in the conference finals, though. It has happened in the first round. It has happened in the second round. But there has been no team ever to lose the first two games at home in a playoff series and then come back and win the series in either the Eastern or Western Conference Finals. And that is what the New York Knicks are up against. Mm. And it starts today against the Pacers, game three on TNT. Can the Knicks defy the odds? Because, I mean, to their defense, the first two games were close. Now, the first game, you should have won. Plain and simple. Whether you want to call it a choke, not a choke, Aaron Nesmith just going God mode and hitting 18 threes in the fourth quarter, like just unreal set of circumstances for them to come back and win that game, the Pacers. But you lost it, and you should have won. You hit a couple free throws even down the stretch, Karl Anthony and OG, then that game is, I mean, if OG Anunoby hits the free throw at the end there,
right.
Tyrese Halliburton's two-pointer.
It's easy to forget that. It doesn't matter.
And then it's a one-point loss, and game's over, and New York escapes. So, I mean, whether you want to say that was just an amazing comeback by the Pacers and that the Knicks couldn't do a whole lot about it, they definitely could, and they should have game one. And quite frankly, after a game like that, that is something that just so mentally drains you that we had them. We were right there. And to have that at least 1-0 series lead, and then if they win the game two, whatever, it's still at least it's 1-1. Now you're down 2-0, and against this Pacers team who runs and runs and runs and always keeps coming at you, and you know is just the epitome of their name, man. Pacers setting the pace the entire time. I feel like I've never seen a team that lives up to their name more than the Pacers, like, because again, man, it's just they play a certain style that is exhausting for the other team, and they do it quarters one through four. So New York, the odds are heavily against them because again, they have to do something that has never happened before. And quite frankly, I just think after those two games in New York, I don't think they're going to be able to get it done.
The Pacers are 10-2 in the playoffs.
And I believe six of those are on the road.
On the road.
Yeah.
So
6-0 in their last six road games.
If we're being honest, they went 4-1 against Giannis in Milwaukee. Did the Dame time thing and then Dame got hurt trying to prove himself, you know, and that's how that season ended for them. Then they go on to play the number one seed Cavaliers and run them off the floor. Absolutely boat raced that team. Like, and to everybody's surprise.
Was that 4-1 or 4-2?
4-1.
Yeah.
4-1. Smoked them. Going to New York, the most hostile environment in basketball. Let's just go ahead. There's nothing like Knicks fans.
Listen, we don't like Knicks fans, but that environment, playoff, I mean, this is the biggest series they've had in probably 20-something years, 100%. And that place is just
booming,
insane.
Booming. And they should be. They should be excited to be in this position because you are all of four games away from going to the NBA Finals, and just imagine how insufferable New York fans would have been at that point if we knew they were going to the Finals. And here comes the underrated Tyrese Halliburton and the, you know, kind of unthought-of Siakam and all these guys, and they have one of the craziest comebacks. That game was over. Like you said, they were up 7 with like 50 seconds left to go in that game.
Oh, there's so many stats.
That game is over.
There's so many stats going around where it's like, I think it was teams are 0-970 when down by 14 with a minute 40 left in the game. And now, of course, that record is 1-970.
Like I said, like this team continues to do, they're not afraid of anybody. And they match up with everybody. And they know how to play great defense. Oh, there's a lot of things that you like about this Pacers team. And I think really that game one meltdown showed them a lot about what the Knicks were and what they could do. Number one, everybody on New York can't guard. They found out that Cat can't guard anybody. Okay, we know that. Miles Turner, we're going to go at him. Obi Toppin, you're going to go at him. We're going to make sure we make this things real, real difficult for you. Jalen Brunson can't stay on the floor. He's going to get into foul trouble. Cool. We're going to bait fouls on him the entire time. If he can't be on the floor, then he can't really do anything at that point. You saw in game two with Cat's inability to defend, Mitchell Robinson had to stay on the floor. Mitchell Robinson was in there way longer than he should have. All of a sudden, Tibbs is making terrible coaching decisions and not playing Cat for, what, the first 9, 10 minutes of the fourth quarter? Like, something stupid like that? Like, you're starting to see things kind of fall apart for the Knicks. And now they're given the crazy task of going to Indiana and having to pull out at least one of two wins. Indiana, is it still Conseco? What is that? What's that arena now?
Something Fieldhouse.
Is it Conseco Fieldhouse still?
Conseco Fieldhouse.
Oh, what's it called? Not Conseco. What's it called?
Jose's got a stake in it. I have no idea, but I want to say it's or farmhouse or
Gainbridge
like
Fieldhouse.
Fieldhouse.
Gainbridge.
Gainbridge.
That is the yeah.
That's stupid.
Classic Gainbridge.
That's stupid.
They
but
are
they're going to be in Gainbridge.
Trusted wealth advisors. I don't know.
And I can guarantee that that crowd probably won't be as raucous as New York, but they are going to be insane to be up 2-0 on this team and have an opportunity to close out this series and head to the conference final.
Also, I mean, as stoked as New York fans were, to have the two games at home, lose them both, and then say the Pacers win these next two and just sweep them, like, what an anticlimactic end for that fan base.
You shouldn't have celebrated like that. That's dumb. Like, who does that?
There's part of
New York, only New York.
Again, I don't have anything against the players and Tom Thibodeau. And again, that environment when it's high stakes basketball, I mean, there's no other place like the Garden. But seeing those fans the other night walking out into the New York streets,
just
quiet,
sad,
there was part of me that was just kind of like, good. I'm okay with this.
When they were throwing garbage at that Pacers fan, bags of garbage, and like a mob chasing this man down the street is when I lost all respect for Knicks. And I understand not every Knicks fan is like that. I want to go ahead and preface my comments by saying that I don't think every Knicks fan is like that.
I think I saw John Hamm in that group of people.
Was he really?
That, yeah.
I agree.
I saw Larry David in there too.
Yeah, he probably was.
I don't mean to sound
Ben Stiller chasing people down the street, throwing garbage on them.
Yeah, was Cardi B in that group too? No, I don't mean to sound holier than thou, but like, were any of those people arrested? Because that is assault. Throwing trash at another person is assault.
I think the cops were with them.
Yeah, the cops like,
you're probably right.
Here,
in New York,
use this.
Yeah.
Use this. Hit him with this.
Yo, bro. Got you.
And it makes it, you know, and that fan happened to be a fireman and all type of stuff, which only kind of made it weird. I was like, all right, man, New York fans are insane. And this is why I wouldn't want them to win. Again, we talked about it earlier. I love the Knicks team. I love Jalen Brunson. I love the fact that his dad is one of the assistants on the team is super awesome to me. We all love Josh Hart because we know what kind of heart he brings as a player, especially when he was here as a Trailblazer. So we understand the talent that this team has. It's just your fans make it hard to root for you. Like, and so I don't want you to win. So I think how it would be so sweet for Indiana to finish the series off at home and get ready for the NBA Finals. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I just, again, I find it very hard to, you know. Would I also, then again, like to see something that has never happened before? Sure, sign me up. Like that is one of my things as a sports fan, as long as my team's not in it. It's give me something I've never seen before. Like, that's all why I always love seeing a new champion, a team win it for the first time in my life, because I can always, it's more memorable to me.
For sure.
You know, that also, I know that TV companies, advertisers, leagues, they love dynasties. They love teams that are just dominating, right? But again, me personally as a fan, I always love it when I see something new. You know, this whole run we've had of 7 different champions within the last 7 years, like, I don't mind that.
Yeah, let's keep that going.
Like, I don't know if that is the case for you guys or even the listeners. Like, I don't know if the NBA likes that or not, but also the way that you've structured things for being able to make it so these teams that are at the top of the league and some of the best that they then can't afford some of their best players. And so the parity is going to be increased a little bit. Like, good. Like, I think that also seeing this mix of teams here locally should give the Blazers a little bit more Blazer fans hope that, you know, this could be you in a couple of years, maybe, you know, make the right moves, get the right players, make the right trades. But again, I just love seeing something that I haven't seen. So if the Knicks do come back and defy the odds and do something that's never been done before, come back from being down 2-0 or 2-0 after losing the first two at home, I'd be down for that as well.
I mean, I'd want to see at least one game, but I don't want to see this team go to the NBA Finals again, not because of the team, just because I don't want to hear Stephen A. Smith or the rest of the New York media go to, because they will. This will be top story every day.
Can you imagine what New York would look like if they came back and won this game in like or this series in seven games?
I can only imagine.
They won game seven.
They were on top of billboards when they found out they were going to the conference finals.
Oh,
so
good Lord.
I could only imagine what it's going to be like if they actually got past this team and end up going to the finals. Like, that would be, I don't know, there's going to be a riot.
All right, let's get over to the Western Conference Finals, because we had Game 3 last night, and I guess you could call it a game.
I mean, I guess, for one team at least.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next here at Sports Sunday, 10 to the Fin. I got the locals on, the Hawaiian staples.
Yeah. I just got some little
Adidas slides.
Adidas slides, you know, just put these joints on. I got to get home and work out, which I'm dreading. I'm sitting here thinking about it like, ugh, that sounds terrible.
You know what, Rashad? I think you'd be proud of your boy over here. Because there was a few months ago, I think you were harping on me, Joe, you need to work out. Why don't you work out? And I was a staunch defender in me not working out. I love my Sunday naps.
There will be a
Sunday nap had today. But it will be my rest day, because your boy has been going on like a jog every 2 to 3 times
up,
a week.
Hell yeah.
I'm about a month into going on my runs. Lost 7 pounds.
Feeling good, right? I was going to say, man, I'm looking at the belly, man. It's looking like,
well,
there's
still progress going down there, man. But, boy, I'll tell you what, though. Counting calories is a bitch. Dude, that has been trying to estimate. You make that?
I made that, bro.
Rashad with a behind-the-back, no-look
I'm just saying, check the video.
The garbage.
Check the video.
Oh,
it's
my
on there.
God.
Kareem, let's go.
Not the one I was aiming for, but it went in, so I'm not tripping.
Counting calories, though, and food, and
stupid.
The dietary, like, that's the thing that...
It sucks.
Trying to run a caloric deficit and have shed more calories than you're taking in a day, dude, that is...
So dumb.
Very tough. And especially when I start trying to like estimate and log calories of what I ate, because doing the homemade stuff and trying to calculate, you know, how much my fajita burritos were the other night. And then once you actually see the math and you're like, oh my God, did I really just woof down 1200 calories of fajita burritos and chips and salsa? Well, all right.
I don't even think about it anymore.
Only 1,200? Good for you.
I just know like
there's that second burrito did me in.
There's a group of things that I just shouldn't eat any, or can't eat anymore. And so I'm like, all right, just don't eat that anymore. And that's just kind of how I try to look at stuff. I stop counting calories. The only thing I look at is I look at how much sugar or how many carbs are in certain things before I eat them.
Well,
and outside of that, like, I'm not about to do all this calorie counting. Be mindful of how much I eat. Don't overeat. You know, maybe two or three is too many. Maybe just one should be enough.
And that's my problem, is going back for a second plate, is the eating until I'm full rather than just eating until I'm satisfied, you know? That's my biggest problem there.
Food is delicious, man. It's hard.
It is.
It's hard.
It is
and
very
it's
delicious.
More right there. Like, what do you mean?
And
like,
it's comforting.
Nobody's eating the rest of this chicken or these ribs. Like, I guess just two more won't hurt.
I blame my girlfriend. She makes too good of food.
That's usually how it goes.
Her and her friends, too. They have they like to have like a dinner party, a family dinner, like once a month. I show up to there after, to the party after golfing yesterday. They have crab curry. They've got pad keemau.
All of it.
They've got, tried their own version of the pock pock wings, you know, the fish sauce wings.
Yes.
They had some sort of beef. I mean, there was all sorts of stuff. I mean, like...
So this is what girlfriends...
I'm not even going to attempt to put the calories in on that. I know I screwed myself.
This is what girlfriends tend to do. You know, girlfriends and wives, they want to get you as fat as possible, so this way nobody else wants you. That's usually that's kind of the she's, you know, Melody thinks she's slick. Like, that's what she's doing. She's making sure that nobody else
my boy up.
That nobody else wants your ass, man. So, yeah, keep packing on the pasta, man.
But yeah, I want to say, because also the biggest thing is, and this is me to a T, is there have been times where I started working out. I think there's been three separate times in my life, post high school or when I was like in college to now, that I've tried to start working out. And they say like the 3 week mark is when you start forming a habit, right? I get to 2 weeks and 6 days, or I get to exactly that 3 week mark and then just stop.
Or you feeling good, you know, you're starting to look at yourself and you're like, okay.
That even happened one time. I was like, dude, I can see. Yeah, I'm definitely losing some weight. I'm getting a little, and then I just stopped.
It's like, you know, one thing happens. I have to work out in the morning. I'm not an evening worker outer.
Dude, I love, like, honestly, going on a jog at nighttime. It is.
I love it.
It's quiet.
I prefer it.
Everybody's asleep. Like, there's no noises. It's just serene. Like, it is just, I don't know. There, it's the vibes. It's the vibes, dude. Yeah.
And I live in a neighborhood that's kind of a neighborhood I grew up in for the most part. And so I know a lot of people. So I don't like having a, because usually when I run, I just have to stop and have a 2 minute conversation.
Hey, Rashad, looking good.
What's up, bro? I say, okay, hey, what's up, man? So yeah, I prefer running at night. My wife does not understand why I want to go at night. I'm like, man, I worked out in the daytime. This can kind of be my cool down after that. But yeah, man, after like 30 days, now I feel weird when I don't work out. Like, I was supposed to work out Friday, and I was like, I got to go to work. And so I missed it. And then I felt so weird the entire day that I didn't. So I know I feel weird about having to do it today, but once I'm done with it, it's the hardest thing I'll do for the entire day. And that's why I like working out in the morning. So yeah, man, I'm trying to get to it. Now I can see the six pack is coming in. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a crazy summer.
I can't wait. Huh?
Oh yeah. Oh no, it's definitely there, man. If I take my shirt off now, it's going to be a problem. I'll probably get a strong, I'll probably get a strong letter from, or at least the text message from Boss Man. But so I won't do it today. But yes, man, Will Ortner and Suk kind of inspired me a little bit. So I was like, yeah, it's time to kind of get in shape.
So since April 28th, I have gone on 10 runs since then.
Look at you. That's good.
Damn, bro.
Including one of those, a 3.1 mile run, which is a 5K. So check that box. But we're slowly getting there.
Listen, fellas,
you got to actually run in a 5K, yeah. Joe.
I know. Yeah, I just
I'm down. If you guys are.
I did the math, I asked someone. I think it was our sales guy, Dave Kinsella, who's an insane running jogging nut. I was like, how long is a 5K in miles? He's like, it's 3.1. I'm like, oh, I can do that. I was like, no problem.
Can you run the entire time?
That's what I did the other day.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was a full 3.1 jog for me. Didn't stop.
Yeah, I have to stop for a minute. My knees aren't that great. I'm old now. But I encourage everybody that's out there, especially all of our men. You know, we're getting older. The dad bods are, you know, they're cool, you know. But I know each of us look at our stomach and go, got to do something about that. No more slimming t-shirts. No more of the stuff that we see online. Let's just get out there, get to it, man. Old, regular sit-ups and push-ups, man. We can get in shape again, fellas. I'm encouraging every listener to take a picture of yourself now. And then start working out, and then in 30 days, take another picture and see what you look like, and I guarantee you'll keep working yourself out.
Well, the catalyst for me is when my whole upper body is jiggling while I'm brushing my teeth. That should not be.
Boobs are moving back and forth.
Yeah, moving around as I'm shaking. I was like, oh, okay, something needs to.
I thought about it and was like, this is what my wife sees on top of her. No, thank you. This has got to change.
Yeah,
we both can't, you know, be B-cups.
Both be grabbing something.
Yeah, that's got to change. No more of that.
Yeah. So I'm in my workout journey, my weight loss journey. I started at like 2. I think that when I stepped on the scale before I started my jog routine, I was like 213 point something rather.
Okay.
And now I'm down to 206.
Look at you, man.
Good for you, brother.
That's the goal. The goal, though, it's an aggressive goal. Is 175.
Ooh, I like
that. That's doable. As long as you're very really doable. Moving stuff like that and stop eating bread and pad ki mao, then you can definitely get
that's
there.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Listen.
That's where it is. That's where all man.
Honey, homemade pad thai. Rice, Joe will not be able to turn that
rice,
down.
Rice, bread,
nor should
noodles.
He.
That's where we get, that's where we pack on the pound. Everything else is cool. Rice, bread, noodles is
bro,
where we mess up.
I counted the calories for my breakfast yesterday and just, yeah, it is insane how quickly things can get out of hand from a calorie standpoint.
For sure.
It is just wild.
Just one more of anything, it can be the downfall.
Oh, I was saying the other day that, and I saw this months ago when I finally looked at the label of a bag of chips.
Yeah.
And then did the math there.
Mm-hmm.
And I blew someone's mind the other night because he opened a bag of Lay's. He's like, which cracked me up because he asked me if I ever had Lay's chips before. Like,
what?
I was like, did you just
original Lay's?
Yeah. What?
He's like, you ever had these before? And I was like, yes. Have I ever had a Lay's potato chip? Yeah, I think I've had a Lay's potato chip.
I mean, it could be a legit question. There are a lot of people that have never had just regular Lay's, which
those
crazy
have been around for like 100 years.
That's not a chip people just choose, though, right? Like, that's usually the chip that's at the...
That's a staple, though.
Lay's? It's like Lay's Ruffles Doritos.
I mean, again, but not regular Lay's. Most people I know don't get regular Lay's.
Well, I will say...
That's my favorite.
The sour cream and onion Lay's are...
That's the GOAT.
Absolutely GOAT.
Yeah. No, those are, Ruffles that's a top sour five. Cream and onion. Ruffles with ridges.
I would say the sour cream and cheddar.
Sour cream and cheddar.
I do like the sour cream and cheddar.
That one is a top five for me.
Damn right.
I might have to rank my top five chips in the break. But... I blew his mind by saying, like, dude, you know how many calories are in a single bag of Lay's?
Oh, you're that guy now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You have to be. Yeah, when you start counting calories and you realize all this just kind of, maybe it's a tiny thing. No, it's actually got 400 calories in it.
Yeah, crazy.
The whole bag of Lay's was like 1,100 calories.
Jeez.
And I was like, we could easily crush this bag in like 5-10 minutes also. I was like, and then just bam, right there, 1,100 calories.
Now you got to go walk for an hour.
An hour, two, three, or no something kidding. Like that. My God. So, all right, I'm going to rank my top five chips in the break, and we will get to what I wanted to get to there, which is today's matchup of the Western yesterday's matchup, which I think will also be tomorrow's matchup, now that I think about it. It'd be silly for the NBA not to have a game on Memorial Day, so I imagine that there is a Western Conference Finals game tomorrow. But we will get to the Thunder and Timberwolves, which will also lead in the second hour to a MVP conversation, SGA winning that this week. We do that all next, hour number two, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.